I have in front of me now a book in coffee table format. I suppose it's A4. And on its loose-leaf cover, there's a picture of an old stove in an abandoned house. The walls are painted green. The paint is flaking off. The title of the book is Ghosts of the Faithful Departed. It's a photographic book, and the author of this enterprise is David Creedon, who joins us from Cork. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, this is a book of wonderful images, everything from an abandoned Singer sewing machine to an old Honda 50 covered in dust and grime and clearly incapable of being started. But tell me, how did you start taking these wonderful images?
Well, the first house I came across was up in County Sligo, and it was totally by accident. And when I went into this abandoned home, I went upstairs. There was nothing downstairs. There was sheep living downstairs. But when I went upstairs and opened the bedroom door, there was this bright blue painted wall with a mattress, a pink mattress, and in the wardrobe was a pink dress. And I remember the hair standing on the back of my neck when I saw it. And I couldn't get my head around it first, but I took a few photographs and went on my way. And a couple of months later, I came across a similar house in County Kerry where, again, there was cattle living. And in one of the downstairs rooms, there was a piano, and next to it was a picture of the Sacred Heart on a chair. And I showed him to a friend of mine a couple of days after that, and he said, oh, you know, there's a house up the road like that. So I went up and I had a look at that, and before I knew it, I had a portfolio together. And I got a phone call one Saturday night from a woman who had seen a couple of them, and she said, would you like to exhibit them? And I said, yeah, where will we exhibit them? And she said, we'll exhibit them here. And the woman's name was Sarah McCarthy. And she said, we'll exhibit them here. And I said, where's here? And she said, Chicago. And we opened in Chicago in the autumn of 2006. And I think there hasn't been a month gone by since that it hasn't been exhibited somewhere in the world.
Now, what is extraordinary is the image of the Sacred Heart, which is in many of the pictures. And the suspicion would be that you had a picture of the Sacred Heart in your boot. And you brought it round with you to all these houses and plonked it there in different locations, but not so.
Not so. I mean, if you grew up in the 50s and 60s, if you remember Ireland, there was Sacred Hearts in every home. You don't see it so much now. And there's really a kind of a dividing line between people who look at these images. I mean, people who grew up in the 50s and 60s can really relate with them, but people who grew up during the Celtic, who were born in the 80s and things, think these are stage sets. And they're not, because you go into modern homes today and you won't find any religious icons there hardly, you know.
The people who lived in these places, what happened to them? Were they simply the last remnants of a family who died off, or were they people who upped sticks and left?
Well, what I found when I was doing my research was that if you had a large family in Cavan or Leitrim, that the majority of the kids would head off to England or America, and there was always one who stayed behind to look after the farm, to help the parents out. But they would never marry, and there was a huge population increase of bachelor farmers. And by the time the parents died off, they might be 50 or 60 at that stage. And when that person died, title of property would have gone to a brother or sister in America or in England, who at this stage could already be dead. And in fact, in some of the homes, it looked like that the last activity was the waking of the dead, where you'd find crates of beer and you could tell it was awake, you know?
Yeah. Not just private houses, but also shops. There's one image you have of a bacon slicer left abandoned, and it looks in very good nick.
It is, and that was taken in County Roscommon, and I think on the desk there as well, there was copies of the Sunday Independent ready to be returned, and I think it was 1986, so some of them are quite recent enough, you know.
Yeah, a bacon slicer has been left in this old shop, and on the counter are copies of the Sunday Independent. Hanging on the wall is a picture of the Sacred Heart and a calendar dated 1997.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives you a sense of when it last functioned as a shop. And you can actually tell, do you remember those calendars people used to use where they tear off the date, you know, the 6th, you tear it off showing the 7th, and then you tear that off showing the 8th.
Yes.
Many people used to have those. so you can almost tell the last date of occupation.
You can, and it was the first thing I used to look for when I used to go into a house was there a calendar? And because that kind of gave the date of the last occupancy. And in some of the houses, I recently came across a statistic which was by J.J. Lee in his book on Ireland, which was that 80% of people born between 1931 and 1941 emigrated in the 1950s. And even between 1949 and 1989, there was over 800,000 people left. And by the late 50s in Ireland, the population had fallen to 2.6 or 2.8 million, which was really, really devastated the country.
Now, access to the houses, a number of people have been on to us who have seen your book and wondering, how do you get access? Are they just open to the winds and you walk in, or do you have to get any permissions?
All the houses that I photographed, there was either no doors, no windows, and you could just walk in. I came across a number of houses that were locked up and I never went near them. But anything that was open, all the ones in the book were open and you could just walk in.
I mentioned the Sacred Heart earlier, but the Child of Prague is also a fairly regular feature in all of those old houses.
It is, and there was probably three religious icons that I came across outside the Sacred Heart and the Infant of Prague, and there was Our Lady of Perpetual Succour was the third one. And in one of the photographs, at times I felt like a forensic scientist going through things, because it wasn't just about taking photographs but also doing some research into the people's backgrounds. And I came across an old shipping trunk with two labels on it, and on the first label it said United States Lines to all Europe, and in the second one it said Mary Sullivan, 16th of August 1949, SS America, New York to Cove.
And this was a returning emigrant.
Returning, and of course the dreams and aspirations of all emigrants was one day to return. And when you opened up her case, inside were ladies' nylon stockings still in their original packaging.
Nylons by DuPont.
That's Nylons by DuPont was embossed at the top, and there was also her bank book which showed she had savings of $8,000, and which was a hell of a lot of money in 1949. I had a friend of mine who once told me, I never knew my father. And I didn't know what he meant, because my father used to come home every night to me from the Beamish and Crawford Brewery. But his father, like thousands of other fathers all over the country, used to go to England and send the money home. And we're now in early January, when this is the time when emigrants used to come home. We often see it on the television, emigrants being welcomed at the airport. And this was a kind of a celebratory time. But in January, in the 1950s, they headed back on the boat to Liverpool, London or Birmingham. And this was quickly replaced in the 1980s. How many times have we seen mothers breaking down at airports as they said goodbye to loved ones as they headed to New York, Chicago or Boston?
Now, a technical question. The image in my mind's eye of those kind of derelict houses and cottages would be very much a black and white or grey on grey. But yours resonate with colour. And lucky enough to find things like a red dress in a cupboard or a pink mattress. But you've used a particular technique to enliven the colour of the images.
I think the first photograph that I took of the blue bedroom really set the tone for the rest of the images, because it was a vibrant blue. And my mother never painted our house only magnolia. So, you know, coming across these colours was very, very unusual. And so it had to be colour. And because a lot of these homes were so dark, I had to really use long exposures, anything from 30 seconds right up to 14 minutes.
Because you're photographing in the gloom without a flash.
Without a flash,
and you're using the saturation that you get from that kind of exposure.
And that seemed to give a particular quality to the whole thing. And I'm a very patient photographer. It takes me a long time to set up and photograph. So, you know, I don't mind being in a house for 2 or 3 hours and just taking one photograph.
Well, the book is called The Ghosts of the Faithful Departed, Ghosts of the Faithful Departed, and it's selling at $24.99, isn't that so?
Yes.
And it's in all good bookshops, published by the Collins Press. Its author, the photographer, David Creedon, thank you very much for joining us
Thank you very much,
on the programme today.